Welcome to the blogcast, Let There Be Luz. I'm your host, Linda Garcia, also known as Luz Warrior. The intention of this blogcast is to bring spirituality to the forefront, to not be afraid of what your intuition is telling you, but to encourage you to take action on it. This is the second episode in the Moon Cycle series. In this series, we will talk about what it's like to become a woman, how we've dealt with it, and how we deal with it. My intention for this series is to change the dialogue surrounding our cycle. Return to the one. Hi guys, welcome back to the second episode of Let There Be Luz. I am beyond excited to be sharing this journey with you, and I just want to start off by saying thank you very much for your response on the first episode. I'm moved by your emails and just your comments and just everything that you guys have sent in. I knew that this would resonate with a lot of women. Before we go any further, I do want to tell you guys that what I am sharing is completely from my perspective and what I am learning. That doesn't mean that it's going to exactly apply to you. If it doesn't resonate, it's okay. The one thing I do want to ask you as we proceed on this journey is when you feel a sort of trigger or it not resonating, I really want you to take the time and see if this is a trigger or if this really sounds like false information to you. Because what I found is that as I went down this rabbit hole, and we'll get to how I got here in the first place in just a minute, but as I went down this rabbit hole, I could see how it was completely opposite to any of the beliefs that I had surrounding a menstrual period. And that's one of the reasons I decided to move forward and call this the Moon Cycle series. I want to disassociate the beliefs that I have surrounding a menstrual cycle. When I hear the word menstrual cycle, the first thing I think of is a lot of pain, a lot of discomfort, a lot of inconvenience. I just have all of these negative thoughts associated to a menstrual cycle. And also, this is just me, but one of the things I don't like in the word menstrual is that it starts with the word men. I know that's really silly, but it just really bothers me. For some weird reason, it's a trigger for me, and that's something that I definitely need to look into. Also, the root of the word menstrual is actually tied to the moon, and that's a perfect segue of what we're going to go ahead and get into today. I just wanted for you all to really know that this is just coming from research that I've been doing, what my intuition is telling me, and something that I really feel like I need to share with you, because I've never heard of any of this stuff before. This is all new information to me. And within the past 4 or 5 months, I've been taking a really deep dive into this subject. First, I want to share how this subject even surfaced. So after I had my son Benicio, I kept having these weird feelings about using a tampon. Every time I would insert a tampon, my intuition was telling me to not do that. I was very uncomfortable. I could feel the tampon throughout the day as I would change it. My intuition just kept telling me, stop wearing a tampon. And that was really hard for me to accept in the beginning, because I vividly remember when I was younger, I needed a pad and I was in school and I asked one of my closest friends if she had a pad that I could borrow. And she proceeded to tell me how dirty I was for even wearing a pad, that it is the most dirtiest thing you could do because the blood is sitting there and it's soaking and it's rubbing against your vagina and it's touching your vagina and it's creating an odor. And it made perfect sense to me. She was like, you need to stop wearing pads and you need to wear a tampon. That's just dirty. I've been wearing a tampon ever since then. I've never worn pads. I think maybe in cases of emergency where I didn't have access to a tampon and I had to wear a pad. So it was really hard for me to listen to my intuition and accept what my intuition was telling me. So much so that I wanted to say that I pretty much ignored my intuition for about 9 months of it continuously telling me, stop wearing a tampon. I then finally decided I was going to listen. I began to wear a pad and it wasn't that bad. I got through it. It wasn't smelly. Couldn't see the pad through my underwear or any of those preconceived beliefs that I had in my head. It was perfectly fine. After I took that step, then I heard my intuition telling me, do not drink alcohol during your menstrual period. I know I probably sound really crazy right now, you guys, but this is real. I was reluctant at first. It's not that I drink a lot of alcohol. I'll have like one or two beers. I really enjoy having a beer in the same way that someone would enjoy having a glass of wine. I like having one or two. I really love the taste. I love different beers during the winter, during the fall, during the spring, during the summer. I just really enjoy it. When my intuition was like, stop drinking beer, I was like, what the heck? Now you're giving me another instruction? Like, I ignored it the first time. The second time my period rolled around and my intuition asked me again to not consume any alcohol during this time, I listened. And the reason I listened was because I felt like, wow, if my intuition is coming in clearer and clearer after I follow its instructions, then I wonder what's going to happen next. What will my intuition tell me to do next? So I went ahead and I made an agreement that during my period, I would no longer consume alcohol. I made the decision and I moved about my life. A month later, I began to prepare myself for my new moon ritual and my period started. I knew in that moment immediately that my period was aligned with the new moon, that it was tied in some way. And it wasn't like my intuition told me, it was a little deeper than that. It was almost like I remembered some information. It was like a memory I was pulling out of memories that I had suppressed in the back of my head. And as soon as I got out of the bathroom, I began to dig and I found a lot of information referencing the ties between the moon and your menstrual cycle, which then made a ton of sense because the moon controls the tide and our bodies are made up of mostly water. And when we surround ourselves with other women, we all begin to cycle at the same time. The truth to this slapped me so hard that I felt a little silly never realizing that before. We're going to take a break, and during our break, we're going to hear from a listener. And when we get back, we're going to find out what I found inside the rabbit hole. Return to the one. Of seeking truth and finding truth, I just want to hold space for our cycles. Moving forward on this episode, it will be known as the moon cycle. I wanted to make this transition with you. Also, we had a listener that wrote in, Griselda Gonzalez. Thank you so much for sharing your story with me. And she was very intrigued on why I was calling the cycle a moon cycle and followed it up with this question. If the phrase moon cycle has a direct correlation to entering womanhood, and if she could adopt that principle now. I absolutely fell in love with this question because, yes, Griselda, that is exactly how I felt when I began to learn about the moon cycle and what we're about to go into. And I most definitely want to invite you to refer to your moon cycle as this sacred time, as a sacred space, as a sacred way of living. Griselda, thank you so much for writing in. And congratulations on your journey with your moon cycle. I'm so excited for you. Return to the one. how I fell into the rabbit hole. And honestly, like, I don't know how I could have not fallen into a rabbit hole after reading this. So the first thing I found was on a blog called Natural Shaman. I'm going to link all of the information and the references on the show notes on our website, lettherebeluz.com. So when I got into this blog, I was shocked at what I read. So women in ancient societies gathered in what was known as a moon lodge of sorts. I don't know when the term moon lodge was adopted, but from everything I can find, that's what it's being called. So women would gather in these moon lodges. You know, because they were part of these smaller societies, all of the women menstruated during the same time. So they were all menstruating together, and so they would all go into the moon lodge together. When women gathered in this moon lodge, they would leave their children and their husbands behind. And men during this time really honored the woman because they understood that they were going through a time where they could no longer sustain the household. They were almost entering a different realm, so to speak, and their role in their society during this time would begin to shift into a much more crucial role for the overall society. And it's my understanding that because their bodies were expelling blood, they were looked at and worshipped during this time as something of a sacrifice of sorts, where they had the capabilities to offer their gods or their god, whoever they pray to, offer them a sacrifice, offer them the blood without necessarily having to kill an animal or a human being. And that was treasured, that was honored. And to take it a step further, this blood had the potential to actually bring a man to life. This blood is essentially the reason why we exist. That to me was so profound, and I could only think about what our ancestors would think if they saw how much we curse this time in our lives and how much society has made us look like we're weaker than or less than because we go through this cycle. And that information isn't even the kicker. At least it wasn't the kicker for me. Here is the kicker. So when the women would come together and gather in the moon lodge, they were actually going through a ritual of sorts. They were able to connect deeper with their intuition. And what they would do during this time is they would gather all of their house problems, like the problems that needed solutions in their home and in their societies. And the women would break these problems down and come up with creative solutions on how to handle these problems or how to move forward within their society. When I read this, my entire body got the chills. I began to freak out because I don't know if freak out is the proper word, but I guess what I'm trying to say is I aligned with it wholeheartedly. Like, my body got the chills. I began to dig deeper and deeper and deeper. Unfortunately, there was a shift in society when men began to see how much power women actually had. And it said that they feared the power, or they didn't like the power, or maybe they were threatened by the power, that they actually flipped the moon lodge on the women. And instead of it looking as like a retreat or somewhere where they went to congregate and, you know, align with their intuition and listen to their inner voice, they started saying that women had to be banished because they were dirty and disgusting, and you know, they couldn't touch things because they would curse things, so they had to be isolated. So it almost flipped on them, and they lost their power amongst their society. They lost their stature. Even just talking about it again right now gives me like these goosebumps, because I just need to stop and think about that really quick. Women come upon a cycle where they actually have the ability to connect deeper with their inner voice. And for years and years and years, generations and generations, we have been taught to curse this time and in reality not connect with it at all. This was very disturbing for me. it just hit me really hard because I'm 37 years old and there's a part of me that sort of felt like I missed out on being able to connect deeper with my inner self for so many years. I don't think it's too late. It's never too late. I found this information when the time was right for me to find this information. So now I really have a desire to talk about this and let women know about this. And then also hopefully we can teach our daughters, our nieces to connect with their intuition, their inner voice, their guidance during this time and teach them how sacred this moment is. And how powerful it is and how powerful they are. I do want to say really quickly, which this is something that I did not know. This is something that you might know, but just as a public service announcement, so to speak, if you are on the pill, that you are technically not menstruating. So there is an inability there to connect with your inner voice on a deeper level. If this is something that interests you, I would highly recommend that you read the book, Are You Sure It's For You? By Jane Bonnet and Alexandra Pope. Again, as I mentioned, I will put this information in the show notes. So I would really recommend for you to read this book because being on the pill is a very personal decision. And I know there are different reasons why women might feel they need to be on the pill. But I also think it's very important for us to educate ourselves on this topic, especially because after reading a lot of this information, I learned how life-altering the pill is to our health. So with that being said, I'm not an expert in any of this. I just wanted to be sure to let you guys know in case this is something that's really resonating with you and you do want to take the time during your moon cycle to really be able to connect and hone in to the powers that we have as women. I want to read this quote that I came across in a book that I was reading while doing all of this research, and it really struck a chord with me. This is Miranda Gray in the book Red Moon. A woman who becomes aware of her cycle and its energies learns also an awareness of a level of life beyond the visible. She holds an intuitive link with the energies of life, birth, and death, and perceives divinity within the land and within herself. From this awareness, the woman interacts not only with the visible and mundane, but also with the invisible and spiritual aspects of her life. I feel like I'm constantly getting goosebumps as I research this information. I can't even explain what I feel, but that first sentence of a woman who becomes aware of her cycle and its energies learns also awareness of a level of life beyond the visible. That couldn't ring any more truth to me. And it made me also understand that becoming aware of your cycle is such a gift. If I felt like my intuition was sort of a superpower or whatnot, I can't even begin to explain how much more of a superpower I feel this is now that I know what I know. And I can't even begin to tell you how much has changed in a matter of 4 months now that I know what I know. As I mentioned, I'm just really drawn to spreading this message. And here's what's even crazier is that as I began to research the women that have written books on these topics and hold space for women while they're on their moon cycle and educate them on these energies, I have learned that they sort of became in tune with their bodies just like me and they find this really deep passion to spread the word. It kind of freaks me out that this was all happening in a time where I was really trying to figure out what I wanted this podcast to look like. The podcast wasn't created because I wanted to do this. The podcast was already a baby that was about to be created, but I didn't know what the baby was going to look like. And it just so happened that everything aligned itself, and this was the message that I'm supposed to deliver, at least for the first series, which is why I'm calling it a series, because I think there's so much to talk about, and I don't know that we can fit it all in one episode. And I know that questions are going to begin to arise as we continue through this conversation. And I'm excited to share this conversation with you guys because I'm not having this conversation, dialogue, or discussion with anyone else. This is a conversation that I'm having with you guys, and I'm really interested in hearing how you feel and how this resonates with you. I know the first episode already really resonated with you, but I also know that you guys didn't know where exactly I was heading with this. Our moon cycle is a cycle that doesn't begin the day of our first period necessarily. It's actually a cycle of all the 28 days or 30 days or however long our periods are. It's a full cycle where we behave in different ways throughout the month. Once you begin to understand how the different cycles affect your mood, I really strongly believe that you can begin to cater your goals and your intentions based on this cycle structure. In the same way that farmers harvest in the fall and they follow the cyclical cycles of the seasons, we as women also have a cycle that we should definitely be much more aware of. With that being said, I barely began to scratch the surface on this, and I am not an expert, as I mentioned. I'm just going with the ideas that my intuition is giving me based on the research that I've done already and what aligns with me and what doesn't. And I can tell you that there's very minimal things that I've came across that don't align with me. A lot of it I align with very deeply. And I have a feeling that when you guys listen to this, that you're going to feel the same way that I felt. I was excited. I was angry. I was shocked. Like, why didn't I know this before? But we know it now. And I'm excited to walk this journey alongside you all. However, I do want to be transparent about the triggers that I did experience. We're going to take a short break, and when we get back, we're going to discuss what my triggers were. Return to the one. Return to the one. There were triggers that I was feeling when I was reading some of this information. And what triggered me right off the bat was the cycle of the 30 days that a woman goes through, which we are going to get into that and go into each individual cycle. Not on this episode, on our next episode. The reason I was triggered by this is because, just to give you an overview of what the cycles looks like, there's ebb and flows in terms of what a woman should be doing during the month. And there are some days of your cycle that your energy is calling you in to retreat and sort of come inside, and then you're called upon to like flourish and be out and move forward in life in a different way. And here is why I had moments of triggers, because even though this resonated with me deeply and I was like, yes, I have always known this and this makes perfect sense, because there are some days where I really don't feel like spending energy with anyone else, no matter how much I love them, no matter how much I care for them, I just find this deep sense to retreat. And now I fully understand why. But because society is constantly asking us to perform above and beyond our capacity, because we're women, we constantly have to prove ourselves. And don't even get me started on this topic in today's culture, in today's digital culture, where I'm going through a timeline and I'm seeing all of these captions and pictures of bad bitches and chingonas. And it's cool because, you know, sometimes I'm a bad bitch, but then I'm also very conscious of when I'm not feeling like a chingona. And it's important for me to express that, because I can't just sit here and talk about all the times I fucking can pop my collar and feel badass. I also have to be able to talk to you about the times where I'm not feeling as great. And the reality is that the way we are wired and the way we're set up to react doesn't work out the way we think it's supposed to work out. In other words, a chingona doesn't really take flight and is on kick-ass mode every single day. It just doesn't work like that. A chingona is vulnerable. A chingona cries. A chingona has to retreat. A chingona needs space and time in order to connect to their inner voice. That to me is what a real chingona is. It takes a lot of guts to be honest with what you're feeling and what you're going through. It's easy to create a perception that you are rocking and rolling every single day and that every other woman that looks up to you needs to be rocking and rolling. I feel like when women do this, they disconnect themselves from other women, and that is a disservice within our communities. One of my favorite Lauryn Hill verses is, "Don't be a hard rock when you really are a gem." And right now, we're really adopting the rock mentality. And I feel that that is surrounded by a lot of male energy. And I'm not resonating with the male energy that's being put out there. And I want to give permission to women that are also not resonating with the male energy that it's okay. You don't need to resonate with that. In the same way that a gem reflects light when it's in the light, and there's some parts of the gem that are dark, and when it's in the dark, the gem is still dark, it doesn't take away from you not being a gem. And that's why this was such a trigger. Not because I didn't comprehend that, because I comprehend that. I understand that from the bottom of my soul. That's my true essence. But where I was met with challenge was I was beginning to struggle and sort of feel a pull in that direction. A lot of women that were surrounding me is really into this male energy. How am I going to explain to them that I am not resonating with the male energy that they are resonating with? That was the trigger. Does this mean I'm weak? Am I being a quote unquote girl? I thought I had to be on this masculine level like them. And I found myself in a completely different space, alone. It is frowned upon if we use our moon cycles in some sort of excuse for something, right? Because men's bodies are different. They don't go through that. They perform on a different level. And when I say that, I don't mean a higher level by no means, but they're just completely different than from what our bodies are going through. So that's why that was a trigger to me, because I was worried about what, I guess, society, my friends, how they would react to me having a moon cycle schedule way of life. I have been living this now for about 4 months, and I have to tell you that I have been my most creative. I have been able to execute many more goals. I have been able to be much more productive when I've been following this. And what is crazy about it is that some people know this as flow, which is kind of ironic. But that's all it is, really, is living in flow and understanding that what your soul, what your intention, what your inner voice is asking you to do is to simply live in flow. Just saying this, I can already sense the resistance from people that are listening, and the things that might be flooding your head are something like, how do I do that if I have a 9-to-5, if I have all of these responsibilities, I have to cook, I have to clean, and I completely understand that. It makes perfect sense, but I feel like it's kind of like that saying, be the change you want to see. And until you make these changes within yourself, you're not going to see anything outside of you change. Actually, I really truly feel that the universe can yield itself to that. You just have to be aware of these energies, and you can be much more efficient, like I said, productive, if you follow and listen to your inner voice instead of paying attention to the way society wants you to live. The more you pay attention to the way society wants you to live, the less and less you're going to be fulfilled in your daily life, executing your honest intentions. You might be producing intentions that don't belong to you, that aren't aligned with you. if you don't stop and let your inner voice, let your intention guide you. There's a phrase that says, I'll bleed on it. And it's actually become one of my most favorite phrases, especially for someone like me. I'm an Aries and I'm very impulsive. And sometimes if I get excited by an idea, I just kind of want to jump on it. But lately, what I have been doing is bleeding on it. And I absolutely love that phrase. You go through your moon cycle to connect to your intuition in order to make the proper decision for any outcome. So I'll bleed on it in the same way that ancient women would go to a moon lodge and solve their culture's problems or anything they were facing. They really genuinely bled on it. I think this is so powerful. I think something that's important to note is that the bleed during your moon cycle is not only a sort of vital element, I guess you can say, to reproducing, procreating a child, but it's also vital to producing a creative baby. So some of us may not be mothers per se or have children, but we do have creative babies. Wouldn't it make sense to connect to all of the cycles that you go through in one moon cycle in order to really produce a creative baby that you have full clarity and understanding of, and you know how to navigate, raise that baby? I mean, it makes perfect sense to me. For me personally, I have exercised the knowledge that I have most recently discovered, this little piece of knowledge that I haven't even begun to tap into. I've used it for several months and it's completely changed my approach to how I work through life. I don't use my moon cycle as a crutch or an excuse. I use it to my benefit and I tap in. I tap into whatever cycle that I am in through the month. It's important for me to do this at all times so that I can tap into my full potential and experience a solid and steady growth to my approach, to how I handle my monthly, daily goals. It has completely changed everything and I'm watching the benefits. I have come up with so many ideas that I'm working on executing now, and to watch them actually become like come into fruition and how seamlessly it has been because I am living in the flow and utilizing all of the phases through its potential and not rushing and trying to execute something overnight, but actually tapping into each phase that we go through as a woman has been extremely powerful and grounding. So I definitely want to invite you guys to do the same. Here is a quote from We Moon Diary on their website on lunar rhythms. Everything that flows moves in rhythm with the moon. She rules the water element on Earth. She pulls on the ocean's tides, the weather, female reproductive cycles, and the life fluids in plants, animals, and people. She influences the underground currents in the Earth, energy, the mood swings of mind, body, behavior, and emotion. The moon's phases reflect her dance with the sun and Earth, her closest relatives in the sky. Together, these three heavenly bodies weave the web of light and dark into our lives. I'm going to leave you guys with that. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to make some suggestions on moon work. Hope you guys really enjoyed this episode. I did want to make some recommendations for some moon work that I think will help in your moon cycle journey if this is a journey that you're wanting to take even further. I would like to suggest that you begin tracking your cycle if you're not already. And if you are, then I would suggest that you begin to go back and look to see how your cycle aligns to the actual moon cycle. so that next week, as we begin to take a deeper dive and we discuss the actual cycles, you can already figure out what cycle you belong in. And if you haven't been tracking your cycles, then you may not know next week, and that's okay. This is definitely a journey and not a destination. A question that I know will come up is, where am I tracking my cycle? I have an app that I've downloaded onto my phone, but I'm not excited about it, so I'm not going to make a recommendation. However, what I am going to do is a giveaway for a Wee Moon calendar, a 2018 Wee Moon calendar. The way that you can win this Wee Moon calendar is by simply heading over to iTunes, rating us, and leaving us a review. If this resonated with you, I would really appreciate it if you guys did this, and of course, you would get the chance to win this amazing 2018 Wee Moon calendar. I will be picking the winner at the end of the series and announcing the winner via our Instagram at Let There Be Luz. I really appreciate your support. As you know, whenever you leave a review and you rate your favorite podcast, this actually gives it more exposure to other listeners. Also, I want to ask that if this is indeed resonating with you, to please share with your moon sisters. Lastly, I just want to take the time to say thank you so much to everyone that attended our sacred moon ritual, La Luna de Maíz, that took place at the last full moon. We had an amazing time, and we're going to have more of these rituals, so definitely stay tuned for that information. Don't forget to check out our website at lettherebeluz.com. Follow us on Instagram at lettherebeluz. Send us an email at lettherebeluzpodcast@gmail.com. And you can find me at Luz Warrior on Instagram. Thank you to Carlos Ponce for the amazing graphic. Thank you to Drew from Mental Physics for the dope beat. Till next time. One.